This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the Mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
The story of Saint John the Apostle.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was made nothing that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness grasps it not.
Saint John, the beloved disciple, lived to be the eldest of all those who walked with Christ. Once condemned to death by order of the Emperor Domitian, and later banished to the Isle of Patmos until after the emperor's death, he returned in the year 96 AD to his church in Ephesus, a city near the western seacoast of what is now Turkey. A city where was located from time immemorial the great pagan temple of Diana, one of the fabled seven wonders of the ancient world.
Great is Diana.
Great is Diana.
Smile upon us, O goddess.
Smile upon us, O goddess.
Bring to us the blessings of fertility.
Bring to us the blessings of fertility.
In our land.
In our land.
In our city.
In our city.
In our lives, O great Diana.
In our lives, O great Diana.
Great is Diana of the Ephesians.
Great is Diana of the Ephesians.
The Emperor, my dear Marcellus, has of course no fault to find with your conducting of the rites, nor the manner of your priestly conduct during your term of office here in Ephesus.
The Emperor is kind.
And of course at Rome we hear nothing but good of your zeal as an administrator of the temple.
Thank you, Your Excellency.
The reason for my mission in Ephesus, then, is not to relieve you of your post, but merely to observe religious conditions here and report back to His Majesty in Rome.
I am at your service.
Briefly, then, His Majesty is concerned, we need not say alarmed, at the general deterioration of religion throughout the empire. The condition is widespread and deep-rooted. Here at Ephesus, for example, the trend is particularly noticeable, and it is manifest in many ways.
Such as?
On his visit last spring, His Majesty noted that the crowd was lax and irreverent in the opening prayer.
I remember he mentioned it at the time.
A small symptom, perhaps, but significant. Taken by itself, it would be no cause for concern. But when it coexists with a general tendency towards lawlessness, filial disrespect, and crime among our youth, one begins to trace the outline of a dangerous pattern. The empire is no stronger than its roots, my dear Marcellus.
Agreed.
And the roots of empire is the worship of the gods. Thus, my dear Marcellus, my mission from Rome. A rather high-blown title, I will agree. Legate Inspector of Sacred Matters from the Divine Emperor. But the problem is a real one for all that. And of some concern to both of us.
Anything I can do.
Perhaps to start with, you can give me your estimate of the situation here at Ephesus.
Let me put it this way, Your Excellency. You arrive at a poor time. The Christians...
Pardon me if I stop you for a moment to add one thing, my dear Marcellus. I have been in France, Spain, Germany, and all throughout Italy on similar missions for the last 5 years. I am rather weary of hearing everything blamed on the Christians. They are not that powerful or that numerous. I have not been nor will not be satisfied with any such general defense. I have usually found the reasons for religious laxity lay in some particular condition on the spot.
I agree. I was about to say your arrival on Monday coincided with the arrival, rather the return, of the local Christian bishop from exile. He's an extremely popular figure, and the Christians of the city, together no doubt with many of the curious, our own people among them, have been holding a celebration in his honor for the past 3 days.
What's his name?
John.
John? What is he? Where is he from?
He was originally a Jew from the Jordan Valley.
What do you know of him?
Nothing much. His people were quite poor. His father was a fisherman, Zebedee by name. He had a brother, James, now dead. He died in Spain, I believe, some years ago during one of the early persecutions.
I think I remember. But surely... What age is this, John?
Quite old. Well over 90.
Good heavens.
Sir?
Domitian was much bothered by a certain Bishop John, but that was well over 20 years ago. I was away at the time. But from what I gathered, Domitian, like a fool, had him plunged into boiling oil. Curiously enough, the old fellow escaped unharmed. One of those Christian tricks of theirs. The whole thing was probably engineered by a few of his undercover converts. And Domitian lost his head entirely. Instead of finishing the job, he merely ordered him banished. Rome lost a great deal of face over the whole episode.
This is probably the same man.
That's very interesting.
I say to you again, my children, what our brother Paul said to your fathers. Draw your strength from the Lord, from what mastery which his power supplies. You must wear all the weapons in God's armory if you would find strength to resist the cunning of the devil. It is not against flesh and blood that we fight. We have to do battle with princedoms and powers, with those who have mastery of the world in these dark days, with malign influences in an order higher than ours. Take up all God's armor, and you will be able to stand your ground when the evil time comes, and be found still on your feet when all the task is over. Take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fire-tipped arrows of your wicked enemy. Make the helmet of salvation your own, and the sword of the Spirit, God's word. Pray at all times in the Spirit. Keep awake to that end. Offer your supplication for all the saints. Pray for me too, that I may be given words to speak my mind boldly in making known the gospel revelation, for which I am an ambassador in chains. And grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an immortal love. Amen.
You are John?
I am John.
My name is Aristodemus.
You are welcome.
In the ordinary course of events, I would not have taken upon myself to visit the head of such a sect as your own. I would have merely issued orders, by virtue of the Emperor's authority, of course, for you to appear before me.
I would have come.
But in consideration of your age and your venerable position among your own people...
I don't feel old.
You are to be envied. There is youth in your eyes.
What can I do for you, Aristodemus?
As you are aware, the governmental excesses of earlier days that caused such hardships to your people have, to a large extent, been alleviated. More level-headed and tolerant ideas prevail in Rome nowadays. We are more progressive.
That is all to the good.
And in these more progressive times, it is only to be expected we should strive for more harmony of spirit among all the people of the empire.
Agreed.
To that end, therefore, Bishop John, I have certain specific proposals to put before you in the name of His Imperial Majesty.
I shall be happy to hear them.
You understand, of course, that our conversation this afternoon is in the nature of an exploratory one. You, as you do, representing your church as elder bishop in this part of the empire.
That is very generous of Rome.
It is.
What is required of us in return?
Nothing much. A few minor jurisdictional details. As legate of His Imperial Majesty, all further appointments of priests and bishops are to be approved by me, acting, of course, for the Emperor.
And what else?
The doctrines of your sect are to be revised, slightly, you understand, to bring them more in line with the policies of the state on such matters as the slave question, treatment of minorities, the divinity of the Emperor.
I see.
That is the gist of the matter.
Dear friend, the answer is no.
What particular are you referring to?
I refer to the matter of your emperor, or any state, dictating church doctrine or restricting her freedom.
But you misunderstand. The state does not wish to dictate.
A friend, Aristodemus. The state wishes to dictate. The state always wishes to dictate.
Bishop John, it is said your founder once called you a son of thunder. Don't be so impulsive as to refuse such good gifts. The Emperor is generous.
We Christians respect the Emperor. We give him his due. But we do not worship him nor his state, and do not look to either for our security in this world. You will kindly excuse me now, friend Aristodemus. My people are waiting for the service.
We will discuss this again.
At your pleasure.
I tell you this, a grain of wheat must fall into the ground and die, or else it remains nothing more than a grain of wheat. But if it dies, then it yields rich fruit. He who loves his life will lose it. He who is an enemy of his own life in this world will keep it so as to live eternally. If anyone is to be my servant, he must follow my way. So shall my servant too be where I am. If anyone serves me, my Father will do him honor. Those were his words, my children. I remember them to this day.
A stubborn man, Bishop John.
I hold fast to what is true, Aristodemus, I can do nothing else.
But this is a modern age, my friend. These are not barbaric times when men were half civilized and afraid of the dark. The world is growing smaller. We must live together.
We will manage to do that somehow. Now, Aristodemus, let me ask you a question.
Of course.
Let us put aside this matter of imperial negotiation for a moment and get down to something more important.
Very well.
Why do you not become a Christian?
Such a question.
Well, is that all you have to say?
The proposal is a preposterous one.
Why preposterous?
Well, because it is.
Ah, you have no answer.
I am a Roman. I follow the gods of Rome.
The gods of Rome are vanishing into the night, Aristodemus. You are intelligent, you know that. The empire is crumbling. It will soon be dust. The glorious temple of Diana over which you preside will recede back into the earth from which it came. Men will soon have forgotten where its place was.
The temple of Diana has gloriously stood for 1,000 years. King Croesus put the first stone into the structure. It has outlasted the ravages of Greek and Persian and Scythian. Alexander the Great honored it. It is the temple of my fathers. If it passes, I am content to pass.
You have not answered my question.
I feel no need to answer you. Christianity is but another phase of man's eternal quest for truth. It is all one.
You believe in nothing.
I believe in leaving well enough alone. I don't believe in vexing the gods.
What gods?
Any gods at all.
And that gives you contentment of heart?
Of course not. No intelligent man can be content in this world. But I have my work. It occupies my time. It is enough.
You live for today.
Put it that way if you like. What else is there to live for? The world is mad.
Aristodemus, I am sorry for you.
You are an old man who say that, John, and I respect your age. Otherwise, it would go hard with you to take that tone with me.
I'm sorry if I offended you.
You Christians are the fools of the world. That is your way of life. Very well, have it your way. Do not trouble us others.
Why are we fools?
You believe impossible things.
What things?
In sin and the forgiveness of sin. In prophecies, in miracles, in eternal truth, in eternal life.
Don't you believe in immortal life, Aristodemus?
I do not.
You are a priest of the gods.
An intelligent man in his time has to pretend many polite fictions.
Then, summing you up, are we to say he was not quite a man, but he was a very polite fiction?
I am ruled by my head, not by the transient whispers of my heart.
Perhaps in the transient whispers is the only truth.
Listen, John. I am no philosopher, nor mystic either like you. But I had a son once. He was killed in battle with a spear. I saw his body in the tomb. How can he live again?
Does he not still live in your heart, Aristodemus?
I will not answer that.
What has a spear or a tomb to do with his image in your heart? I have told you of this so that your faith may not be taken unawares. They will forbid you the churches. Nay, the time is coming when anyone who puts you to death will claim that he is performing an act of worship to God. Such things they will do to you because they have no knowledge of the Father or of me. And I have told you this so that when the time comes for it to happen, you may remember that I told you of it. In the world you will find only tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world.
Your church will not consent to be governed by the state in these matters.
No, Aristodemus, we will not.
I could make it hard for your people, for you.
It doesn't matter. We do not play with the truth.
You really believe what your Christ has told you?
We have taken him at his word.
You are to be envied.
Be one of us, Aristodemus. What else matters?
Your Christ told you that if you had faith enough, nothing would be impossible for you.
Yes?
He said that scorpions would not sting you, nor arrows that fly by night.
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
With all your soul?
I do.
Here is poison. Drink it. If you live, I too will believe.
And so, Aristodemus,
I still cannot believe.
I know.
Why do you say you know?
You want something demonstrated as 2 and 2 are 4. And even though you saw what you saw, there was something that slipped away among your calculations. There was a mystery somewhere that baffles you.
You speak true. It baffles me.
Perhaps a voice says to you he did not really swallow the poison. Or perhaps there was an ingredient which somehow rendered the poison harmless. Or perhaps, and so on.
And so on.
Is it not so?
It is so. What then? I am, as you say, a skeptic. What else is there for me?
Would it give you joy to believe?
Incredible joy.
You wish belief?
Yes. But where would I find it? What should I do, John?
Ask. Ask. Ask and ask again and again. And it will be granted. This is our proof that we are dwelling in him, and he in us. He has given us a share of his own spirit. We apostles have seen for ourselves and can testify that God sent out his Son to be the Redeemer of the world. And where a man acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. God is love. He who dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. That our life in the world should be like his means that his love has had its way with us to the full, so that we can meet the day of judgment with confidence. Love has no room for fear. The man who is still afraid has not yet reached the full measure of love. If a man boasts of loving God while he hates his own brother, he is a liar. He has seen his brother and has no love for him. What love can he have for the God he has never seen? A man who loves God must be one who loves his brother as well.
Temple of Dolphs in the 3rd century of our Lord, vanished from the earth till our own day, when curious men began digging among the ruins. But the dust of Aristodemus, the last high priest of Diana, so the legend says, rests in a Christian tomb, not far from the ancient city, near the Cathedral of St. John.